Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
I want us to talk about when the roll is called up yonder. It is indeed a blessing to be able to live here in life and to have family and friends that we love, but also to be a part of the beautiful church family universally. But here, we are blessed at East End to be able to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship and to praise our God and our Creator, but then to go even beyond the doors with the opportunities that we have to share in fellowship with each other and to love and to encourage each other, to inspire one another to live faithful before God. What a blessing God gives us here in this world to be with each other, those of like precious faith. But the Bible makes it very clear that someday a roll will certainly be called up yonder so that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that every single one of us will appear before our God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming again. And it's interesting that as the Bible teaches this, some people give their life over to a study of eschatology. What is eschatology? Eschatology is a study of final things, of the last days. And yet at the same time, I tell you today that those individuals who study eschatology, that they're wasting their time. Why? Because the Bible tells us that the angels do not know when Jesus is coming, not even Jesus Himself. The Son does not know, but only the Father. And in that, individuals who study the signs, those individuals who study the Scripture and try to define when Jesus Christ is coming, it does them absolutely no good. The Bible tells us that Jesus will come as a thief in the night. And the thief does not announce when he or she is coming. Rather, they come in a silent way. Rather, they come at a time in where we would not expect them to come. And the Bible wants us to understand that emphatically, yes, Jesus is coming again. And as He comes, He does not want man to know, but rather what God wants man to do is to prepare for that day, to be ready for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But also, the Bible tells us that whenever Jesus comes as a thief in the night, is that this earth will be consumed with fire. Some people preach and teach that the earth is going to be reformed into some sort of a paradise. But yet at the same time, the people the Bible identifies for us is that those who die in Christ is that they go into paradise, into the Hadean realm, and that is paradise. Yet at the same time, what do we think in regard to the creation of this world? God created the world for man's inhabitants so that man would have a place to dwell while we dwell here, so that the earth would provide for all of the essential things that we need while we live here in the flesh, so that while we dwell here, is that it is God's way of providing for us and even in a sense in His way of protecting us. Well, then, whenever Jesus Christ returns, there's no need for this earth to stand in place. And therefore, the Bible tells us that Jesus will come in a flaming fire, taking vengeance in that day upon those who are outside of the body of Christ. But also at that time, the Bible very clearly tells us that this earth will melt with fervent heat. Whenever God says that the earth is going to melt with fervent heat, good people, what is it that He is declaring before us? He is identifying is that this earth is not going to stand, is that this earth is going to pass away, and then man will go to stand before our God. In that day when the Lord comes, the Bible very clearly teaches before us in the Scripture that all will be raised from the grave. All who have already died, who have gone on, those individuals that we read of in the Old Testament Scripture, those people will be resurrected from the grave. Even closer to our time, our family and friends, members of the Lord's church, these individuals will be raised from the grave. The Bible tells us that whenever they die, the body returns to the ground from which it came. Man was created from the dust of the ground. And whenever we are dead, then the body returns. But yet at the same time, we understand is that the soul dwells on and the soul is departed from the body and goes into the Hadean realm. And those who are lost, they go into the place that is defined in Scripture as torment. And those who are saved, we've already said that those souls go into paradise, wherein that they receive comfort unto the return of our Lord. But the Bible tells us that whenever Jesus comes, that He will bring with Him all His saints who have died in the Lord. But not only will they be brought with Him, in order for them to be brought with Him, good people, the Scripture tells us that they will of necessity be raised from the grave. And not only will they be raised, all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. Whenever God says that there will be those who go on to a reward and those who go on to condemnation, what is it that He is communicating before us? Good people, He wants us to understand that when Jesus Christ returns, man will enter into judgment to stand before our God and our Creator. Whenever man enters into judgment, God says that every aspect of our life will be judged. There are things that everyone knows about, and those things will be judged. There are also things that we might only personally know about, that are secrets from other individuals. Yet at the same time, the Bible tells us that those things will also be judged. Why? Because there are no secrets in the sight of God. All things are revealed, known, knowledgeable unto Him. And in that thing, God identifies through what the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, that the good will be judged as well as the evil deeds that we have done in our life. All of these things will be brought forth by our God whenever you and I stand individually to face Him in the judgment. Isn't it a blessing to know that we will stand before our God in judgment? Whenever we look to the way in which people look to us while we dwell here, sometimes people place judgment upon us, and I will tell you that their judgment and even my judgment might not be a fair and an accurate or a righteous judgment. Why? Because we judge according to appearance. We judge according to our own standards. But yet, when we think in regard to our God is able to judge us justly. Well, what does it mean that God is able to judge us justly? It means that God is able to judge us right. God judges in a righteous manner. He does not look at man from a respectable standpoint, one man over another, but rather He looks to each and every one of us as souls. And God will judge each of us as an individual soul that has been created after and according to His image. But you know, not only do we understand that God will place a righteous judgment upon us because He looks at us individually as a soul, not as one above another, but also because of the standard that God uses whenever He judges us. He does not use any opinion. He does not use any law that has been set forth by mankind, but rather our God, according to what the Apostle Paul told the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, He judges man according to truth. He will judge whether or not we practice truth or if we live a life that is contrary to His will. If we live a life that practices truth, good people, we have absolutely nothing to fear whenever we stand before our God in judgment. But yet at the same time, if we live a life that is contradictory to the law of God, if we live a life that is filled with sin, then those individuals by all means ought to fear the fact that someday all of us will stand before our God in judgment. The Scripture also identifies that God will judge comprehensively. God will judge every single soul that has lived or that is even currently living. God identifies very clearly is that even not only will man be judged in that day, but even we understand that the demons will stand before our God. Jude and verse 6 says that these demons, that they are in chains reserved until the final judgment. According to what the Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, is that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess before God. Well, what is God identifying here through these passages of Scripture? no one will be able to escape the judgment. Mankind is able to do things in this life and still be able to get away with that. This past week, we heard of a crime that was committed in our hometown back in Indiana where that someone or individuals walked into a home and took the lives of three people. For the longest time this week, they did not know who was responsible for that. And now they've taken one individual into custody and there's a search out for two other individuals. And they say that they've been able to escape the capture from the police. And in that, these individuals might be able to escape some sort of a capture or to escape even punishment while they are here. Or you and I might be able to escape being able to be caught. But yet at the same time, the Bible tells us that every single one of us will someday stand before the judgment seat of our God. And He wants us to understand that we need to prepare ourselves at this day. Also, God identifies is that He will judge us extensively. He will judge every angle of our life. And your life and my life ought to be centered in and around Jesus Christ our Lord. And by that I mean is that we need to study the life and the teachings of Christ. And not only do we need to study the life and teachings of Christ, you and I need to embrace that form of life while we are here. We need to do what Jesus did. We need to speak like Jesus spoke. We need to think as our Lord thought during the time in which He was here. Well, what is it that Jesus was busy doing? Jesus went about doing good every single moment of His life. What is it that Jesus spoke? Jesus spoke the Word of God. He wanted to communicate God's will into all of humanity. Well, what is it that Jesus thought? Jesus thought about what it is that He had been sent to do. And you and I, we will be able to be successful before God while we live here. But also, whenever we stand before God, if our life will emulate, if we will follow the examples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Why is that important? Because every angle or aspect of our life will be judged. And if we have not lived a life that has been centered in and around Christ, then good people, those things too will be brought before the judgment seat in that day. It's very important that we take the judgment of our Lord very serious in the fact that God will declare man's eternal destiny. There is eternity out there. You and I now live in the realm of time. And where did time come from? God is responsible for time. He dwells in eternity. A day is as 1,000 years to the Lord and 1,000 years is as a day. God does not count time as you and I count time, but rather time was created whenever the earth was created for you and I who were created for dwelling here, at least in part, upon the face of the earth. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning signifies is that God brought forth time into existence. And what God wants us to understand that whenever the earth is no more, whenever it is destroyed with that fervent heat that we spoke of earlier in the lesson, is that time will be done away with also, and we will be in eternity. And the soul that dwells on eternally, it has one of two destinations. It will either be eternally separated from God in hell, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It will be in a flame that is in torment without end, the Bible clearly teaches us. But also, on the other realm, the Bible says is that there is heaven, where that we will be in the presence of God, where that God will be not only in our presence, but where God will comfort us, and God will wipe away every tear from our eye. And where we fare in judgment, where we are in the day of judgment, will determine as to where we will spend eternity. And God will be the one who gives that final sentence, if He would, in the day that Christ returns. What are the possibilities in regard to individuals in the day of judgment? I contend this morning that the Scripture tells us that most religious souls will be surprised. We live in an age today where that there are over 2,400 different religious entities. in that the majority of these have been established, and the majority of these have been brought forth by mankind, and they preach and teach the doctrines of man. Yet at the same time, you will find, as you and I well know, is that a lot of the people that we know, they are involved in these religions or in these denominations, and these people are assembled together in the same form as what you and I are today upon the Lord's Day, but as they assemble together, they're not following according to the true doctrine. Yet at the same time, the common person within those denominations, they think that they are okay. Most of them believe that they are right with the Lord. And they would even fight you over that. They would even argue about where they stand. And they will go to book, chapter, and verse, but yet at the same time, they will misuse and abuse the Bible in a defense of where they stand from a biblical standpoint. And the Bible says concerning these individuals, as was even the case during the days and teachings of our Lord and Savior, as Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, they draw near to the Lord with their lips, for their heart is far from Him. Why? Because they teach His commandments the doctrine of mankind. And Jesus identifies concerning this type of an individual who is religious, but yet at the same time their religion is wrong before God. It's as in the day of judgment they will say unto Him, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Lord, Lord, in Your name have I not done all of these wonderful things? And Jesus says that He will conclude to these individuals, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He doesn't say that at one point He knew them, they had a relationship with Him, but He says, I will say unto them, depart from Me, you worker of iniquity, of sin and separation. I never knew you. Some of these people will find that they are surprised in the day of judgment that they will be sentenced to separation from our God in hell. But also I contend this morning is that some will deal eternally with shame. We live in a world today where that I know that I have, and I trust that you also, you live your life not only as an example before the lost and dying world, but I trust that you are always engaging in conversation about our God and about the Scripture and about salvation in Christ, inviting our neighbors, inviting people that you work with, inviting kids, the people that you go to school with. We invite even strangers to come in and amongst our mix, in and amongst our assembling together for worship. In fact, every Saturday night, this morning I didn't get it, or this week I didn't get it done until this morning, I put on Facebook inviting over 1,000 people. That's my friendship over on Facebook. Over 1,000 people, not all of them don't live in this community, but a lot of them do, inviting them to our services. And very seldom do we get anyone who comes in and says, I saw your Facebook notice, or I got your personal invitation and I showed up, and I want to know what this is all about. We don't get that too often, do we? Now, we do get visitors to come our way, and a lot of them are members of the church. Sometimes we get visitors to come our way and they're not members of the church. And we're so grateful for all of the visitors we have, but especially those who are not members, so that we might have that opportunity to proclaim the Word of Truth before them and that they might embrace it. But let's be honest. The majority that we deal with on the outside who are in the world, they seem as if they don't care. In our community, in our neighborhood, as we were leaving this morning, I thought to myself, most of these people, I mean, we've knocked on all their doors. Where are they? They don't even go out to their denominations that they say they attend. They lay around on Sunday. And I contend, in fact, the Bible teaches that these individuals will be lost in the day of judgment. And I think that their soul will spend eternity in hell, and part of their punishment will be the shame that they will feel in the fact that they never loved the Lord enough to investigate and to go and to see what it was all about. But also the Bible identifies that others will face regret When we stand before God in judgment, even amongst our number here at East End, it brings me great sadness to say is that some likely will be lost. And I say likely because I don't know where all of you live. But I say that amongst the crowd this large, it's likely that some who assemble with us, they assemble and they're here on Sunday morning, maybe even on Sunday night, and some even on Wednesdays. But they go and they live their life however they want to live their life. And they live their life in a hypocritical sense. And the Scripture tells us that whenever we stand before God in judgment, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, that He will separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep are those who are faithful members of the church, who not only attended the services, but who lived, who understood, who got it, and who were committed to living a faithful life before God. Those sheep will be counted as faithful whenever the roll is called up yonder. But the goats are those who took God for granted. The goat are those individuals who said that they were Christian, who maybe attended, but still at the same time they lived their life like the world, living in sin. And God will say unto these individuals in that day, depart from me also. They will be lost. You say, Kevin, what are you trying to say about whenever the roll is called up yonder? The Bible makes it very clear that in that day, only a few will receive salvation. And one preacher said, you know how many a few is, don't you? And another person said, how many? Said, eight. Eight souls are going to be saved in the day of judgment. Why do you say that? The individual said. Says, well, in the days of Noah, says few. That is, eight souls were saved by water. I believe there's going to be a lot more than eight. But I think it's going to be few in comparison to the mass that has ever lived or that is currently living upon the face of this earth. And only those individuals who live their life committed to God will be able to partake of that judgment in a righteous way so that we will be able to enter into the righteousness of God and holy city someday. And this morning, if you're here and you are not a member of the Lord's church, we want to encourage you to prepare yourself for that day. It is coming. To get ready for that great day whenever you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you are here and you are an erring member, we want to beg and to plead with you and to encourage you to see the urgency, not to procrastinate, not to put it off any longer, but rather to say, you know, I don't know when He's coming. He is coming as a thief in the night. And I want to be ready no matter what. And if you're in that situation today and you're an erring member, we want to pray with you and to pray for you that you will be able to be restored before our God. And then we want to encourage you to live faithfully, as you would also encourage us to live faithful. If you're here this morning, though, and you're a faithful member, I want you to know that you are a blessing to me and to each one who's able to associate with you, and you love, your love for God and encouragement that you give off, what a blessing that is. And we want to encourage you to keep on keeping on in your pursuit to live eternally in heaven with God. Today, when the roll is called up yonder, where will you stand in the judgment seat of Christ?